Stream Scroll and conquer dead zones with BreezeLine's limited-time power deal on internet and mobile. Get blazing fast internet for only $19.99 per month when bundled. Plus, add a mobile line and get one on us. Call it powerful. Call it smart. Call it the power couple your wallet's been waiting for. Switch today and you'll also get a free modem and Wi-Fi. Don't miss out on this deal for internet and mobile. Visit BreezeLine.com.
What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker. With a website that fits your unique vision, let your ideas flow with AI that guides you but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Go to Wix.com.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Well, as I said before the break, there was a huge amount of reaction from you last week about the government's future My Future Fund pensions auto-enrolment. So who better to put your queries to but Paul Kelly, former pensions ombudsman and programme leader of the Retirement Planning Council of Ireland. Paul, thank you very much for coming in. I think this issue has come at people so fast in the last number of months when they've started hearing the advertising for My Future Fund that they've forgotten all about it if they hadn't heard about it before. And so many people have so many different queries. So can I just start off with a basic one? This is auto-enrolment. Is there a process for people who say, well, I can't afford to put money into a pension right now? Can they get out of it and for how long?
Okay, well, the first thing is they'll be opted in compulsorily if they qualify. So if you're within the salary limits and all of that and you haven't got a pension and they find out from your payroll that you haven't got a pension, then you are opted in. And there is a process then by which you can opt out. You've got a small window of 2 months in which to opt out after, I think it's several months of contribution. But then you'll be opted back in again when the contributions increase in 3 years' time. So every time they increase the level of contribution from you and the employer, you'll be opted back in and you'll have to opt back out if you want to stay out. That's the situation. Now, if you opt out in the first place, in the first chance to opt out, you'll be able to get the contributions back. But after that, you won't. You'll only be able to get the difference between any contributions that you've already got in and the new rate of contribution that's been struck. So it's quite complicated.
And the government clearly don't want anybody to opt out of this.
They would prefer that you didn't opt out, because the whole point of all of this is to make sure that people have supplementary pensions alongside the state pension contributory that most people will qualify for in due course.
Yeah. Now, we've another query here from somebody saying that I'm paying into a pension already. Will I be entitled to get the state top-up like auto-enrolment? And just to remind people what happens here is, so if you're an employee, you put €3 into your pension pot, the employer will match it and put in €3 and the state will provide a €1 top-up. So if I've already got a private pension, do I get that government top-up into my existing pension?
I'm afraid you don't. No, the government top-up is in lieu of the tax relief that you would get if you were contributing directly to your own pension. So when you're contributing to your pension, you get tax relief at your marginal rate. If you're on 20% tax, you get 20% off. If you're on 40% tax marginal, you get 40% back. Now, the government subsidy of €1 for every three that you contribute is actually equivalent of 25%. So it's a little bit more than the basic rate of tax, but it's not as good as the tax relief you get if you're on the higher rate.
Okay. Now, we also have a good few queries coming in from different people involved in the public sector. And there are, of course, people in the public sector with very good pensions, let's be honest. But there are other people who say, well, I am a public sector worker, but my employer doesn't make a contribution right now. Will they get it?
If you're not making a contribution and your employer is making a contribution, yes, you will be opted in compulsorily, because what they do is they research the payroll records, and anybody who is not contributing to a pension will be opted in automatically.
I'm curious about something that, and I suppose we're getting into a longer term issue here about people who are workers, and then there are people who are working for themselves and have always had to make provision either for a sick leave or holidays or whatever it is. But if I'm somebody who is self-employed and I don't already have a pension form that I've set up myself, either a PRSA or my own private pension, what happens to that person?
The bad news is that you're not in the compulsory contracted in cohort. You're not on the auto-enrollment list. You've got to do whatever it is you do for yourself. So anybody who's on a Class S PRSI contribution, that's the self-employed class, will be excluded from participation in the auto-enrollment.
And how could they possibly take advantage of auto-enrollment? Could they set up a company and become an employee of it and then they would get it? Or is it possible?
They could do that, certainly. If they're an ordinary employee of a company, yes. If they're not on Class S, if they go into, say, Class A PRSI contribution and they're on the regular payroll and they're not making any pension contributions and there is no pension scheme there, yes, they will be opted in.
What about people who have set up a business? They might have a small shop around the country. They might have a small trading business. They might employ a few people. They are setting one up for their workers. But if they are a company director or if they're the owner, will they also be enrolled into a pension?
No, unfortunately, they won't. They will be paying for their workers, but they won't be allowed to have the company pay for them. But of course, obviously, if you own a company yourself, you can set up a pension scheme and have the company make a contribution to the pension scheme anyway. If you're in control of the company, you can actually do that.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to something else that's come in, and this I think is very important out there, because we know lots of people are carers for family, across close family as well. So if you're a family carer and you get an allowance for caring, does the auto-enrollment happen there?
No, it doesn't. No, you have to be actually earning a taxable income any benefit that comes through the social welfare system doesn't count as pay for this purpose.
What about people who are in multiple jobs? What are people who have, we know there are students out there, they might be doing PhDs or whatever, and they might have a bit of work on their education side, or they might have a student job. What about those people?
Your PPS number will tell them how many jobs you have. So if you're assuming you're paying tax, of course, in your job, that you're on the actual payroll. But if you are on the payroll, then they will be able to find out that you are on more than one payroll, and they will aggregate the two. So between the two jobs or three jobs or however many you hold, there will be contributions coming in from all sources, and you will be contributing on the double or treble, as the case might be as well.
Will it be one single pension or three different pensions?
No, it'll be one single pension. And if you change jobs, for example, it goes with you, because your PPS number is the magic thing that takes everything with you.
How do they know you've moved jobs or moved salary? Like, is this unique to one person, is it?
Yeah, but you see, your PPS number is what identifies you for revenue and everybody else. So what happens is that when you move jobs, revenue will get a return from the first payroll that's run after you start your new job, and they will know that this PPS number is now attached to that job.
What happens if you are enrolled next year into this and you make your contributions into it, and assuming that you are in a role that doesn't have a company pension, but then you actually move into a company that offers a pension?
Okay, well then what happens is that your auto-enrolled pension is effectively frozen. You can't transfer it into a new pension scheme, at least for the first 10 years of the auto-enrollment existence. So what happens is that it will be parked. And you will start your new pension with your new company and so on. And then when it gets to state pension age, you will be able to draw down the frozen auto-enrolled money with whatever it has earned in investment income in the meantime.
Now, as we said, this starts off with the initial contribution, but then it rises. So tell us now what people will be paying next year, and then what does it rise to after, I think, is it 4 or 6 years it increases?
Yeah, well, what happens is that it starts off at 1.5% for employee and employer. It rises then to 3, 4.5 and 6. That's the schedule. So at the end of 10 years, it will be 6 employees, 6 employer, and 2 from the government. So a total of 14% of pay will be going in after the 10 years of the introduction of auto-enrollment have been completed.
Can I, as a person, if I'm enrolled in it, can I make an additional contribution to it if I have more income or if I have a lump sum? Can I put this money into it?
Not to that scheme, you can't, but you can set up a separate scheme for yourself to make additional voluntary contributions. So a personal retirement savings account, a PRSA, would be able to accept additional voluntary contributions for you. Now, the difference between the auto-enrolled benefit and an ordinary pension benefit, including a PRSA, is that a PRSA can be drawn down at any time after age 60. But for auto-enrolled benefits, you have to wait until you're 66, which is the state pension age, unless, of course, you are forced to retire due to ill health, in which case you can get it immediately.
There's a little, that's, I suppose, offers more an advantage to people who can put more money into an AVC. It gives you a bit of a bonus.
It does. It gives you a bit of a bonus. So, yeah, the more you have, the more you can get, obviously. That's
the government, if I were the government, surely I should be awarding people who say, well, I do want to save, because the government want people to have pensions to provide for themselves.
If I were in the government's shoes, I would be accepting the AVCs from people if they're able to afford them, no doubt about it. And I would get them put into the fund that's investing the auto-enrolled money.
Yeah, and that's the next point I do want to get at. So the money that the employee, the government and the employer put in, the government then invest that money.
Well, the government don't.
The managers of the fund.
They've appointed an agency to oversee the whole thing. And that agency is in the process of looking at the potential investment managers. So those investment managers will be doing the investment. Now, the individual who's there will be able to choose the kind of risk level that they are prepared to accept. So there will be three different risks levels. There will be a fairly conservative situation where you probably won't make an awful lot of money on it, but your money is relatively safe. There's a middle ground then where you have a chance of making some money and there's still an element of safety built in. And then there's the top one where you take more risk with the chance of getting more of a return at the end.
Is there a danger that it could lose money?
There is a danger that it could lose money. Any investment can lose money. There's no doubt about it. And that's why timing can be crucial for people. You know, that you choose not to take your money down when the markets are shot.
Do I have any say other than picking my small, medium or higher risk level as to what they put the money into? Maybe I might be ultra cautious and I wanted to invest it in cash on a bank or in government bonds, which are safe?
No, you'll be offered one of three levels of risk. That's about it. But there are people who are concerned about what happens to money and whether it might be invested in dodgy things.
Because there are people who would have ethical concerns about it being invested in arms companies or companies linked to defence contractors or cigarette companies or oil and gas or harmful emitters.
Yes, all of the investment managers out there in the market do have ethical investment portfolios that they specialise in, and they're all very conscious of the ethical thing. Now, at the moment, we don't know what arrangements are being made as to investment because the investment managers haven't been yet appointed, so we don't know what directions they will get from the agency as to how the investments are going to be targeted. But it does seem to me that if you are concerned about ethical investment, then you should make your feelings known to your public representatives and let them know that you do have concerns. And incidentally, I was reading today in European Pensions, it's very interesting, the Danish pension funds collectively have increased their exposure to defence orientated investment.
That's because the shares are doing very well.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Norwegian pension funds have actually divested themselves of investments in Israel and the occupied territories.
And we can't turn around and say we don't want this fund manager to put its money in that.
No, but if we let our public representatives know and they can pass it on to the agencies that, you know, people have genuine concerns about these things, then maybe that'll be taken on board and the ethical investment funds will be careful about how they go about investment.
Can I just, we have a query in 0874100102. How much income tax will I pay on the pension? And I presume that's at the end of it.
It'll be normal income tax. What will happen is that you will maybe collect your state pension contributory at age 66. So that'll actually be taxable, and that'll reduce the tax allowances that you have for other income. And then you'll your auto-enrolled pension income will be aggregated with that, and you'll pay the normal income tax.
Okay. Can I just bring this one to you? And again, just come in again on text. My workplace put in a pension when auto-enrolment was first announced. They only contribute 2%. Can they stay at 2% when auto-enrolment employer contributions go above that?
In theory, they could. They shouldn't, because everybody would like to see pension schemes out there at least matching what the auto enrollment contribution is. At the moment, the 2% is more generous than what the company would be forced to contribute at the outset. But as time goes on, obviously 2% will pale into insignificance when the contribution goes up to 4.5% and to 6%.
Mm-hmm. A lot of other queries coming in. Can you transfer it abroad? What about people who are come to Ireland, work here, maybe they're working in the health service or the technology sector or whatever it is, and they leave to go back to their own country? Or if you're an Irish person that goes to work abroad or wants to retire abroad?
It's not very clear, but my feeling is that they will have to leave it here for the first 10 years of the auto-enrollment arrangement, after which it will be transferable to any other occupational pension scheme or pension contract in Ireland. And I think that it will also be transferable abroad, but that'll be subject to the suitability of whatever pension arrangements obtain in the country that you're going to live in.
Now, this one has also come in a couple of times. What happens if I pay in for 10, 15, 20 years and I die without claiming it? What happens to that money?
Okay, well, the money is released.
And to who?
We haven't been told exactly what they have in mind. My feeling is that probably it will go to your estate, because ordinary pension schemes very often have a situation where the death in service benefit is payable to dependents. Now, you can't go researching everybody's individual dependents in a thing like this. So my feeling is that probably it will be paid to your estate, which means that if you've made a will, it'll be disposed of in accordance with your will. And if you haven't made a will, it'll be disposed of in accordance with the rules of intestacy, which are there in the Succession Act, which date back to 1965.
And that, of course, involves probate and everything else. But I mean, is there a danger that this money could be kept with the government?
No. No, it'll have to be distributed.
Okay, I think we've covered this one already, but I'll put it to you again. I currently pay into a private pension. Will I still be auto-enrolled?
The answer is no, you won't.
So you don't get the benefit of the government contribution.
No, but you are getting the tax relief on what you're paying already.
Yeah. Can I also ask you, a lot of this is being set up. People have tried to do this in Ireland for 20 years, and it's been done in many other countries. Have we got the systems in place now so that if I see that my salary is down because I've made a contribution next year, that I know where it's going? Will I be able to see how much money I'm getting?
Yes, I think they're aiming for as much transparency as possible as to where the money is going, how it's invested and all of that. So I think you will be able to find out exactly where your money is and what it's doing.
People, of course, will have the state pension as well as this. Why can't we invest a state pension to make a bit more money on top of it?
Well, actually, we're not covering the cost of the state pension from PRSI at the moment. That's the whole problem. The social welfare system not only caters for the state pension, but it caters for all the other benefits that are paid out in terms of, let's say, job seekers allowance, carers allowances, adoptive benefit, all of those kind of things all come out of the social welfare system. So it's a very big check. I can't remember exactly when it was. It's more than 10 years ago. It was when Eamon O'Keefe was Minister for Social Welfare at the time, and he was marvelling at the number of billions of euro that was paid out in terms of social welfare benefits every year. I think at that time it was something like 13 billion, and it's probably a lot more now.
Here's a really interesting one. Similar to existing schemes, will you be able to get 25% tax-free at the age of 66?
That's not clear, but I suspect you will. I think it would be most unfair if you didn't.
Yeah. And very briefly, can I take the money out at any time before 66?
No, not unless you're in ill health. If you're forced to retire through ill health, you will be able to draw down the money early. Otherwise, you have to wait till state pension age, which is currently 66.
Okay, well, I think there's a lot of people out there who will have many more questions for you, Paul. That's absolutely fascinating. I think we've got more questions in. I'm sure we'll return to this at some point in time ahead of that auto-enrollment coming in next year. After many, many years, I think you and I would have been a lot younger when we first started talking about pensions auto-enrollment in Ireland. So, Paul Kenny, former Pensions Ombudsman and Programme Leader of the Retirement Planning Council of Ireland, thank you very much for coming in.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Stream, scroll, and conquer dead zones with Breezeline's limited-time power deal on internet and mobile. Get blazing fast internet for only $19.99 per month when bundled. Plus, add a mobile line and get one on us. Call it powerful. Call it smart. Call it the power couple your wallet's been waiting for. Switch today and you'll also get a free modem and Wi-Fi. Don't miss out on this deal for internet and mobile. Visit breezeline.com.